And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We're going to hit an important one tonight. 70 weeks of Daniel. We're going to jump into that tonight and see how far we get. You know, it's people more interested in suicides of celebrities and sports cars and these kind of things than the future that's coming up is getting ready to hit them. So I guess that the future is not taken as personal as people think it is. It's going to be. They've said so many times, like camping and all the way back, that's going to happen here. It's going to happen in the 1880s. It's going to happen in 1917. It's going to happen. Oh, we're tired of it. We don't care anymore. Does that sound familiar? We've heard this over and over and over. Man, quit. Stop already. They've got us exactly where they want us. When it says they'll be taken by surprise, they're just not Wilson-Dixie. It's exactly what's going to happen. You see, that's what's going to happen. And we see the signs of the times coming up. Already, we see the signs. You see. So an infinitesimal number are taking this serious. What's going to happen? What did they think of Pearl Harbor? You think the ones in the sinking of the Maine had thought that it was going to be sunk? How about Lusitania? You think they'd have got on if they'd have thought that it was going to be sunk? Pearl Harbor? You think you'd have went to work on the 911 if you know it's going to happen? Do they think it's going to happen? I just go on. How about the Oklahoma City, the bombing? How about the landslides? Did they think that was going to happen one morning? Sometimes there's things that happen you can't help. But in this case, they're telling you. He's telling you. God's telling us. It's coming. And here are the signs. And we're there. But they're giving you false signs as well. Acid rivers or whatever. They've got a red algae in a certain sea or ocean or river. And so the theologians are taking off on this and say, oh, looky here. We have the end times. They're here already. Well, I don't know. Maybe you get a plane and get a ticket and go watch the tribulations. Where's that lake, river, whatever, ocean that turned red? So, I guess we can go somewhere where the river's red and we can watch the tribulations or something from a high vantage point and take a picnic lunch. Maybe they'll have a red river somewhere we can go to and visit. Or some big hailstones we can watch the seventh veil of the vial pour out as the hailstones fall the size of baseballs and call it the tribulation. Well, actually, that's what they're calling it. That's what everybody's doing on the YouTube and in the pulpit. And the Bible is clear with it. It's straight out. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And we're going to jump into Daniel 9 tonight. And Daniel 9 is the vision of the 70 weeks of Gentile supremacy. The Jews, the Hebrew Jews, the Jews in Israel, are trying to run back the clock. They keep forgetting they rejected Jesus Christ. They keep forgetting that they were split up and divided and failed to bring the Word of God to mankind. There's no replacement theology. There's no replacement of, like, Christian Identity and Arnold Murray and all these folks, a replacement of America to be over Israel, that now it's the Gentiles will be the chosen people. No, it's that we're all that take Jesus as Savior. Everybody wants to get a piece of the action. I'm yet to try to figure out, if Jesus is a Caucasian white boy, let's say Jesus is Caucasian, and they're pushing it. So what? Let's say he's from Ethiopia, black. So what? If he's from, well, Middle East. Wow, what a concept that is. Jerusalem, Middle East. What if he's Middle Eastern or looking, like Indians or Mexicans or... So what? So what's the drive of these people with their agenda to make Jesus, that nobody knows what it looks like in the first place, to be their culture? To what aim is that? Well, it's to divide. This comes from another location. An effort to divide people using their ego, their pride, and so forth. Twisting the scriptures like a pretzel to try to make it fit their agenda. And then other people jumping on the bandwagon. That's why it's being done. Just to keep us all divided and at odds with each other. They forget the Bible, although literal, tells you when the parables are parables. It does give you metaphors, but it tells you, shows you. You also know when it's literal. The Bible explains itself. Lord, we come tonight before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we come before your throne tonight, Lord. We're going through another Bible study, Lord, to study the future, to study what the Scripture is saying about the end times events. Lord, we call upon you today to forgive us of our sins. Father, to protect our families, bring them together. And Father, protect us through your Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, to protect us from any attacks, physical, spiritual, mental. Father, may keep us from worshiping you and from studying. We pray for discernment and wisdom tonight, Father, to guide us through. That Father, we may share in the gospel, share in the prophecy of the Bible. And Lord, we pray for our brethren tonight too. We pray for Chloe and her family that we prayed for here some time, that they will come together. And her daughters and her family members to come back to the fold. Lord, these things we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that Lord, you'll heal families together, cure their physical ailments, and cure their hearts. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to start at Daniel 9, chapter 9, which is the 70 weeks. And I'm not going to read it. I'm going to let old Max read it tonight. You'll have a treat. So we'll have Max read the Daniel chapter 9.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities, and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Whoa. That's key. Daniel's 70th week. Now, I'm not a theologian.
Daniel 10.
Whoa.
In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia.
Yeah, old Max is eager tonight. All right. I'm not a theologian, but I'll take my best stab at this. If I've made a mistake or something, be sure to let me know. But I've done an inordinate amount of research on this. Several locations, several commentaries, and I never take just one source necessarily. I always vet out my sources. Nowadays it's getting more difficult as the time goes because many of these theologians nowadays are turning over a different leaf. The 70th week prophecy is one of the most significant and one of the most detailed messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. You've just heard Daniel 9, and what it starts off is that the chapter begins with Daniel praying for Israel. Kind of like Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. Acknowledges the nation's sins against God and asking for God's mercy. Kind of like 2 Chronicles 7:14, does it not? As Daniel prays, the angel Gabriel appears to him and gives him a vision of Israel's future. Daniel realized that the 70 years of captivity was almost at an end. He confesses his sins, and to open up the passage, to open up the prayer, sins of his people, he uses the word our. Asked the Lord to fulfill his promises, did he not, concerning Jerusalem and the people of Judah? So, in God answering his prayers, he granted the prophet Daniel the important revelation of the 70 weeks. It's called the backbone of biblical prophecy. That says a pretty important book of the Bible. Daniel's petition, plural, they were based on the character of God, his greatness, being awesome, faithfulness to his people. Righteousness is highlighted, forgiveness, his mercies, and on his interests. He calls it your people, your city, your holy mountain, your sanctuary. It's not mine, ours. Was yours. It's his people, his city, his holy mountain, his sanctuary. That goes through from Daniel 9 to practically Daniel 9:23. But then it starts getting interesting, more so, in more detail, because 23, 24, and 25, 26, but 27, that is a very controversial section. When you go to Daniel 9, 20 to 23, while he was praying, Gabriel, being caused to fly swiftly, reached Daniel about the time of the evening sacrifice. He told him that he was greatly beloved. Can you imagine that? You're praying and the angel Gabriel comes before you. Can you imagine if you were doing that today? You'd have to go to the Lowe's and get your whole pack of Depends. Today, but they're seeing angels. These aren't angels from God. Fallen angels. You'll know an angel from God. You test the spirit. If it's there for you in the name of Jesus Christ. God's angels aren't orbs flying around like flying disco balls. They can never rest because once they stop, and the frequency is reached, they end up in the abyss. So they always must keep changing their frequencies. A little tidbit. Gabriel told him that he was greatly loved, a tremendous tribute to Daniel. And it came as it did from God himself. He gave him an outline of the future history of the Jewish nation, and that under the figure of 70 weeks. Remember, one more week's got to go, right? The Calvinists, preterists, other sects, groups, says that the 70 weeks have already happened. And they're hitting it hard the past couple months. Man, they're hammering it. That the tribulations are already over. When this one calls Ananda Manuel, the one referring himself to as Yeshua, Yahuwah, or whatever these names are, is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Although he looks like the one we think is Jesus, that's Leonardo da Vinci's depiction of what we think Jesus looks like is absolutely not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is the picture, the painting of Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet, the fallen angel, that we think is Jesus. This is massive. This is incredible when you realize how we've been fooled all our lives with the one we think is Jesus, that all the churches holding the Lamb. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. That's Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel. You're going to see him. Well, in the meantime, he gave an outline of future history, if you look at the scriptures, under the 70 weeks. Now, each week represents 7 years. Each week, 7 years. So, since the prophecy is crucial to understanding God's tribulation or God's program, we're going to have to look at it phrase by phrase. Pull it up on your computer or your Bible and go to Daniel 9:24. And you'll read there the 70 weeks have been decreed for the people of Israel and Jerusalem, your holy city. And so the actual historical fulfillment of this first part of the prophecy shows the weeks are weeks of years. From Daniel 9:24 to 9:27, it hits it hard. This is the meat of the whole scripture. Thus, your 70 weeks would equal what? 490 years. And what we're going to see is that the 70 weeks are divided into 7 weeks plus 62 weeks. And then after a time gap, one final week. And so at the end of these 70 weeks, there's 6 things that's going to happen. Number 1, it is to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. The implication of that is massive. It may actually refer to a general sense to all of Israel's sinful ways at that time. So, it has a special reference to the nation's rejection of the Messiah. They did reject him, you know. They're hoping everybody forgets that. So, in the second advent of Christ, there's a remnant that's going to turn to him in faith. And so from this, the nation's transgression and sins will be forgiven for that remnant. So, in order to make reconciliation for these iniquities, they consider the basis for reconciliation was laid at Calvary, on the cross of Calvary. But this, at this time, refers to the time is still future. You know, the believing portion of the nation of Israel, they'll come into the benefit and enjoyment of the finished work of Christ on the cross. And what's to do is, in Daniel 9:24, is to bring an everlasting righteousness. And that points toward the second advent, a return of Jesus Christ to this planet, and not in some UFO. That's not far-fetched. They're already telling us it's going to be in the UFO. They're already saying it's aliens, ascended masters that can't make up their mind. The book of Urantia will take lead, and the book of Enoch will have significance. King James Bible, they're already starting to attack it. They're going full bore, too. Next thing we'll hear is King James was a cousin of Elmer Fudd, a bloodline. They're pulling out all the stops. And I suspect that they're going to have documentation showing things like King James was a Mason, and they will falsify in a heartbeat. Or like King James was a Mason and was friends with Sir Francis Bacon. And that's absolutely not true. King James laid him out of prison because his time was up. But Bacon and King James did not get along. And what people don't realize, and I'll tell you a little secret here. A little secret. And I'm sure all those here tonight, you already know this, but I'll speak if people out there don't, because I don't know who's going to hear it or not. But if people haven't figured out already, God knows the end from the beginning. God's future is his memory. God's future is our memory when we see it happen. But God's future with 100% chance of it happening. So God knows the future. He knows the heart. He knew the heart from time of creation to the time of the Armageddon, of the what's going to happen in eternity. He already knows that. He knows whether King James was a pedophile or going to be one. He would know whether King James was friends with Bacon and took a blood oath in Freemasonry. He would know this. He would not have signed King James. King James would not have been given the opportunity, the appointment of authorizing the King James Bible. Because God would have known that he'd be a pedophile. God would have known he was going to be a Freemason. Or God would have known he was a child abuser, or whatever. But King James was not. He was a godly man. And God knew that. He helped the Word of God, the manuscripts in the Alps, for ever how long the Dark Ages lasted. And that's why they called it the Dark Ages, because the true Word of God was put away. No one had the opportunity to read it. It was hidden until such time that mankind would be ready for it. That's the purpose of calling it the Dark Ages. You know, it's not separate. To bring in everlasting righteousness. That points toward the second advent and the millennium. And that's when the king will reign in righteousness. So the longevity of people's life would be like it was in the days of Noah. You think God used it all up? No. Why did God shorten the life? So the demons would not be able to possess the bodies for eternity or for the long term. The demons possess the bodies. So the bodies die. The demons can't possess them no more. That's why. Life is in the blood. To live in eternity and know about good and evil, knowing that man cannot handle both, the yin, the yang, the black and the white, duality, etc., man does not have the dimensional capacity to handle that. But Jesus did. So when mankind, Adam and Eve, sinned, which God knew that they were going to do, it wasn't a surprise. That's why it got through the Old Testament, 365 prophecies of the coming Messiah. All fulfilled, except for the end times events, some prophecies yet to be fulfilled. So the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is one book. Because in the Old Testament, is prophecies about what's happened, going to happen, yet to happen, in the New Testament. Hadn't happened yet. It's predicted in the Old Testament. So that makes the whole book one. So, Revelation 22:18-19, don't add to or take away from the prophecy of this book. And they try to tell you and pair it off as, well, they're just talking about Revelation, that's all. Yeah, sorry, honey, ain't going to get it. That dog don't hunt here. He's talking about the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And during the millennium, you know, we talk about in the New World Order and all this Illuminati and pyramid and all these things going on. The signs and the sacrifices and the devices and all this stuff. Satan's on this earth, back and to and fro, the second heaven to the first heaven, back again. Family, he's just not taking the school bus and coming down here or transferring by some tractor beam. Family, he comes down here, he's controlling the countries and the leaders in the seven areas I've mentioned many times before. He's just not coming down for a stroll only. He's the Illuminati. He controls the Illuminati, controls the bloodline families. He controls the other demons and fallen angels and so forth, setting up every day, every waking moment, his kingdom as he's allowed for a short time. So in the millennium is when the king will reign in righteousness because Satan will be chained. There will not be any of these symbols and things flying around and so forth and so on. It's an everlasting righteousness in the sense that it will continue on into eternal state. You're eternal right now. You just haven't been determined where you're going to spend the rest of your eternity after death. When Adam and Eve turned from God and sinned in the Garden of Eden, their bodies were then capable of being possessed to acquire the knowledge of the gods per se. Therefore, God cut short their life. You see now? So the demons could not take the bodies and live forever inside the bodies of Adam and Eve and all those who followed. However, evil reigned on the earth because when Adam and Eve sinned, it turned it over to Satan. And there's nothing but evil continually. So much so that God had to wipe it out with a flood, except for the eight righteous people. Now you get it. And notice all the, some of you probably did anyway, but notice all the men of God, Lamech and Seth and Methuselah, etc., very few in between, all died before the flood. By the way, Enoch was taken up at 365 years old. Man, he's just a bambino. So, each week is 7 years, and the prophecy is crucial, very crucial. 70 weeks have been decreed for the people of Israel and for the holy city, Jerusalem. 70 weeks is 490 years, and they're divided up into 7 weeks plus 62 weeks. A time gap at the end of the 70 weeks, the six things, and the first thing that I told you about was to finish transgressions, to make an end to sin. And you know, this end of sins does refer in a general sense to all of Israel's sinful ways as they are today. It has a special reference to Israel's rejection of the Messiah. So in the second coming of Jesus, called the of Christ, called the Advent, there's a remnant that's going to turn to him. reconciliation for iniquities will be made. And the basis for this was laid at Calvary, as he was sacrificed there, rose again. But this is future. This is future. All right, so we're up to speed here. Now, when it continues on in the eternal state. So now, to seal up this vision that Daniel got, and this prophecy was given to him, you got the main body of the Old Testament prophecy, the main one, centers on the return of Christ to earth at Armageddon. Then subsequently, the kingdom he'll take control of in Jerusalem. And there is where the bulk of this prophecy will be fulfilled at the end of 70 weeks. What does he do? Well, he'll anoint the most holy place. They had planned in the year 2000 to be their 1,000-year reign. That's what 911 was all about. But the beginning of the 1,000-year reign, once it starts, the tipple described in Ezekiel 40, verse 44. And without the inner great gate were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which was at the side of the north gate, and their prospect was toward the south, one of the side east gate having the prospect toward the north. So it would be an anointed or consecration in Jerusalem. And this glory will return to the person of the Lord. Ezekiel 43, 1 to 5. Afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. Behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. It was according to the appearance of the vision, which I saw, even him according to the vision. I saw him as I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house of the way of the gate, which prospect toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of God filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. So, in Daniel 9:25... you are to know and understand that from the issuing of this command to restore and build Jerusalem, as Jesus had prophesied, this was the decree of the Anaxerxes in 445 B.C., Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 8. So until Messiah the Prince, when that is said, it refers not merely to the first advent of Christ before Calvary, but more particularly to his death. Chapter 26, first part of it. There shall be 7 weeks, 49 years, 62 weeks, 434 years. The 69 weeks are divided into two periods. 7 weeks in 62 weeks. Now, the city shall be built again, plaza, moat, and this will be even in troublesome times. as the scriptures say. Jerusalem would be rebuilt during the first 7 weeks with public square, protective channel, but not without opposition and turmoil. That's what's happening. After the 62 weeks, well, that is, after 62 weeks portion of time, which, if you look at it, it's really at the end of the 69th week. That leaves the 70th week to yet to happen. The Messiah shall be cut off. Now this, I don't see how people get this wrong. This is unmistakably a reference to the Savior's death on the cross. It was cut off. And about 100 years ago, there's an interesting book. It's quite lengthy, called the Sir Robert Anderson, The Coming Prince. And Anderson gives a detailed calculations of the 69 weeks, and he uses prophetic years. Of course, he allows for leap years and eras in the calendar and the change from B.C. to A.D. and all that. He figured that the 69 weeks ended up in the very day of the triumph of Jesus entry into Jerusalem, 5 days before his death. Now, when you read the scripture, it says, but not for himself. Well, literally, and have nothing. That may mean that he had received nothing from the nation of Israel. That pretty much to which he had come to. They did not receive him well. It could mean that he died without apparent prosperity, in Isaiah 53, verse 8. Or it may mean, it may be a general statement of the utter poverty in that period, that he left nothing but the clothes that he wore. So, the people, the prince who is to come, the prince who is to come is the head of the revived Roman Empire. That's important right there. It's talking about the revived Holy Roman Empire to come up once again. Others are identified by some as the Antichrist, and he will come to power during the tribulation period. And his people are the Romans, not Jews. People aren't getting this right. As they did in 1885, the beginning of persecution of the Jews, they're doing it again now. He shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the Romans under Titus actually did destroy Jerusalem, as he said. And the gold-trimmed white marble was melted down in around AD 70. And the end of it will be with a flood, because the city was leveled as if by a flood. There was not one stone of the temple was left on another, just as Jesus had said. So Titus here forbid his soldiers to put Herod's temple in the north in the torch. He didn't let him have it. But in order to get the gold, they disobeyed him. They wanted that gold. So melting down the gold. You know what that means, though? If you're going to follow Yellow Brick Road, you got it, to retrieve the melted gold from the rock that they use for building, they had to pry loose the great stones, and that fulfilled Christ's words in Matthew 24, 1 and 2, as well as Daniel's prophecy. They worked together on that. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. You can read it. And then till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Well, what that means is from that time on, the history of the city would be one of war and destruction. The end here means the end of times of the Gentiles. So now it brings us upon Daniel 9:27. The 70th week, which everybody says was back in Jerusalem in 70 AD. Really? So as mentioned as I talked about a little while ago, there's a time gap between the 69th and the 70th week. Time gap. It did not go straight through to 7 weeks. This period is the church age. And you know that extends from Pentecost to the rapture. Everybody says there's no pre-trib rapture. You don't know that. How do you know that? Really? Because the Bible's not written. There's no rapture. How do you know that? Nobody knows. Everybody claims like they do, but nobody knows. If somebody really knew in the past 400 years of Scripture, they'd already patented it. But since even today, nobody can get it right, well, that tells me why waste my time and try to figure out something nobody else has ever figured out in the history of man. Now, can they make something happen? Sure. Using technology, whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors. Satan's prince of the air. He can do all kinds of stuff. But when you know the Scripture, if you knew the Scripture back in the days of Jesus, someone who read the Scripture from the Old Testament would have said, look, he comes in on a donkey. That's in the... But they didn't do that. They had a lot of prophecies from messianic texts, Masoretic texts, that talked about the coming Messiah. No, nobody figured it out. Everybody ever think about that? Would it not have been told ahead of time all the things that he did, all the things that happened? This was the Son of God. Even the Roman soldier that didn't know this, he saw the skies turn black and earthquake when he died. He said, surely this is the Son of God. Some of the Roman soldiers then, a couple of them, had more faith than the Jews did. The church age we're into, and it extends from the Pentecost to the rapture whenever it happens. Because one thing sticks out, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, whatever, you are not appointed to wrath. So if you're going to be post-trib, where is he going to put you? You see, where are you going to go for protection? Because he's not going to, if you're born again, put you through the wrath of God too. What? It's not even logical. It's never mentioned really specifically in the Old Testament. It's a secret hidden in God from the foundation of the world. He revealed by the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. You see, Satan doesn't have any wisdom nor discernment. But he's got a lot of knowledge. Trial and error for thousands and thousands of years. So how do they know? Because they try to tap into a Christian by having a Christian to put a spell on themselves. Yoga, pornography, adultery, covet. You got the point. And that way a demon gets in, you got yourself a spy. Now this is quantum physics. It's not some fantasy. It's real. Ouija board. All these things are open portals. However, the principle of a gap is illustrated by our Lord, the synagogue of Nazareth. Luke 4:18-19. And you had Jesus that quoted Isaiah 61:2. But cut it short at the acceptable year of the Lord as his first advent. And left off the judgment of the second advent and the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah 61:2. So, kind of in between here was to occur the whole church age. It's said that in Daniel 9:27, the assumption is made that he's a Roman prince. And they say that this Roman prince shall confirm a covenant with many. the unbelieving majority of the nation of Israel for 1 week. In the 7 year tribulation period, it may be a friendship treaty. I'm not a politician or whatever, but kind of a non-aggression treaty, protect my butt treaty, or some kind of guarantee of military assistance against nations attacking Israel. Partial fulfillment in 1967 of Psalms 83. I said partial fulfillment. That's yet to happen again. But in the middle of this week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Well, that means he allowed religious freedom at the beginning. For him to stop it, he had to start it, because they're not doing it now, but they've been practicing. See, this Roman prince will turn hostile toward Israel. It's called backstabbing. And he'll forbid further sacrifices and offerings to God. And let me tell you, it's not on the wings of a dove, but on the wings of abominations. You'll go to Matthew 24, verse 15, and that's where he sets up the abominable, adulterous image of the temple. And assuming he's going to command that it be worshipped. And some people think that this wing here refers to the wing of the temple. It's kind of hard to say. Shall be one who makes desolate. In other words, he will persecute and destroy those that refuse to worship the beast. Even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Judgment's coming. Terrible persecution of the Jews will continue. And then also that last half of the 70 week. It's a period known as the Great Tribulation. Then the Roman prince, the one who makes desolate, is what he's referred to, will himself be destroyed as decreed by God. So by then, cast in the lake of fire. That's the great white throne judgment. Those in hell are pulled out, judged, and sent back in. Well, we timed that right on there, didn't we? Right at the end, we're going to stop there. Tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit more about the end times events, some more detail. I'll give you some more calculations. Abomination of desolation. Some other verses. We'll discuss it. People trying to say that the 70th week has already finished. So what would that mean to you? The next thing is Jesus Christ showing, right? You see the setup? So there's got to be a chaotic event coming of some kind, whether it's actually real or whether they make it up to justify martial law, get rid of the bankers, get rid of the Illuminati. All these guys will fake being gone. Yep, and Yeshua, the fallen angel, Sanan Emmanuel, is going to appear on the scene sometime during the disclosure, and we're in it. And there'll be a peace covenant with Israel. And the Antichrist, I don't know who he is. You can say Obama, Akhenaten, or Wakhenaten, or whatever nothing it is. You'll know when it happens. Speculate till the cows come home, won't make any difference. The Bible's written in such a way you'll recognize the events as they happen if you're still here. But nobody is a prophet. There's only one. That's God. Until he assigns it to others in different jobs and positions. They don't teach about the millennium much anymore, do they? Some churches teach about the grace of God and his justified, and they still have Halloween nights. What in the world is going on? Can't they see this? I mean, okay, Christmas and Easter. They're both pagan, as it can ever be, but it has a flavor of Christianity or sort. See, the King James Bible is not about Christianity. Whoo, what a thing to say. The King James Bible is a solemn truth word, solemn true word of God. It tells you about what where we came from. There's a coming Messiah. He's here. Died. Up. Oh, he rose again. Departed, and he's coming back. That's the Bible. Past, present, and future. You can trace it. All of the Bibles come from one source, Alexandria, Egypt. That's it. All of them, except for the King James. Every one of them. People will fight for those Bibles as if they have gold leaf lettering or something. It's like they're possessed or something. I don't know. I pray for the return of Jesus. Nothing else. Pretty much that. Seventy weeks have come and gone. Really? So can someone tell me about the hailstones that fell? Can someone tell me about the World War III and massive reduction of the planet's population? Can somebody tell me when that happened? I must have fell asleep or something. I don't know. You know, like Rip Van Winkle and missed it all. Someone tell me about when the moon disappeared at the same time the sun turned black as sackcloth. When did that happen? How about that earth-hugging, ground-hugging earthquake that tears everything down? When did the two witnesses come by? Well, they come and gone. 144,000, the Jews, what happened to them? They've been gone already? How about the army of 200 million? When did that happen? See, if you know this scripture and you get people talking about, well, we're already done the 70th week. Say, well, okay, so can you tell me when? And you start naming it right off. Now, they will get mad at you. Man, I've been blocked so many times now on some of these channels. I got a square head. Can't even put on a cap. I mean, it's almost ridiculous of how they come. And the Bible's clear about what it defines itself. We got to go. Well, family, we're going to continue this on tomorrow night. And we'll talk about the stated purposes of the tribulation. We'll talk about the tribulation. Some major events. Daniel 9:27 is one to study. Daniel 9:24 to 9:27, actually. And they're talking about a peace covenant signed between. They're just trying to gin us all up to make it look like the end times have happened. That's what they're all trying to do. Have some little battle, some crisis, say, up, there's Jesus, there's a real one. That will be the first seal. That was a fast hour, wasn't it? Lord, thank you tonight for us coming together tonight to study prophecy. Thank you, Lord, for the insight, wisdom you give us. Lord, to lead us this week, come inside our families, Lord, and help us with bringing families together, especially our own. Touch the hearts of those straying away. Will your Holy Spirit bring them back into the house? Father, touch the hearts of the Freemasons, that they'll come to see what the organization is linked up to and what's really behind it. And Father, we look forward to more Bible studies in the future and the broadcast that you've allowed us to have in this network. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're in the middle of the week. And, you know, David Wilkerson is really good. He was really good. And then you get his archives and whatever. It's still pretty good. Still real good, actually. One of the last ones before they murdered him. They couldn't allow him to continue on because they're coming to a time of change. They need all the high-level evangelists and preachers and rabbis and popes and priests and whatever to be on the same page. Well, Wilkerson wasn't having anything to do with it. He's preaching the truth. So, family, we'll end with the voice of truth. because that's what it's all about, is the voice of truth. Right now is practice. Practice what's yet to come. So y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is the Watchman. I'm signing off for tonight, and I'll see y'all tomorrow. Don't forget about highportradio.net, highportradio.net. John Kirkler, plays our broadcast and our Bible studies on his network in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Website, watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com, and visit my archives. And we'll see you all tomorrow. Have a good night. To climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. I will listen and believe. I will listen and believe.